Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, websites without domains. I didn't mean for this.
When I get there, it's actually just a bunch of Roombas chained to a radiator. But
yeah, of course. Welcome back to the Lore Boys, the internet's number one fake history podcast. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, here to talk to you today about everyone's favorite dystopian hellhole city future. With me, of course,
New York,
is James Miller.
James Miller, you even sounded like sad with. Like, I don't know, like, tired of your own topic there, or what's going on? Yeah, you kind of lost some
steam.
And Pete's here, too. Yeah.
And Pete, of course.
Yeah. Hello. Speaking of tuning in, I set up my old radio since the last time I showed it off to you guys. So.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it.
An exciting update for the listeners at home. Pete, it's set up a radio.
It's connected to electricity, which we have here in Canada.
Mostly powered by water, which electricity is the enemy of water. So it's ironic that water is powering electricity.
Do you think hydroelectric dams are like bitter about that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
The dam itself, maybe not. The river, I betcha.
You know, hydroelectric dams is a real problem for like salmon because they migrate like almost back to the exact place they're born upstream to lay their eggs and then die. But if there's a big old dam in the way, it's easy to get down a dam. How do you get up a dam? So they have
these salmon dudes.
Yeah, they have the salmon dudes. They shoot them right up the dam, and it must be so unnatural. I wonder what goes like. Well, probably not much goes through a salmon's mind, but I wonder what that experience is like for a salmon. You know,
I wonder what a fish is thinking 4 hours before it is about to lay and or fertilize eggs and then die when it is sucked into a mechanical tube. Right? Like what an experience that was.
Yeah.
If they have neurons, I'm sure they're firing. But part of me doesn't think they do.
As best that they can, for sure.
Yeah.
So welcome, everybody. I guess before we jump into the topic, we do want to give a shout out to our new patrons. We have Darren, Aaron, and Syra. Thanks, Darren, Aaron, and Syra, for joining in. Your continued support does mean the world to us. If you guys want to become a patron and get your name shouted out at the top of the show, feel free to go to patreon.com/theloreboys for more information.
Plus always grateful, never necessary. Also, you guys might want to coordinate because the fact that Skyra does not rhyme properly, that
And if patrons do get access to tens of hours of extra content as well.
That's true.
Yeah. This week's bonus content released tomorrow should have some bonus lore, as a matter of fact, not just us rambling.
If
you're interested, check that out. But enough housekeeping. Let's jump into the lore because we are the Lore Boys. Today, we are continuing off a previous episode talking about a dystopian city rife with income inequalities, chrome-plated futuristic implants, giving your regular Joe superhuman powers, all that good stuff. So why don't James, maybe Peter, actually, because that makes more sense. Why doesn't Peter give us a little bit of a rundown of what happened last time?
Yeah, off air, I definitely did out myself as having no memories of the previous episode until I look at the goofy picture I drew. In the last episode, the main character, whose name I still can't remember, was still following clues looking for his best friend, who turned out had been drained of all his energy by the, I think it's called the reality chip, because there is a Phyrexian djinn. Gitaxis, a Phyrexian scientist draining the life out of Kami.
You're thinking of the wrong episode for sure.
Dang,
that's not. I guess I guess, Jamie, you weren't on the last episode, but maybe you have some memories.
Was I not on? Did I miss an episode?
No, yeah. He was there.
No, he definitely wasn't. I re-listened to it. He was not on the last Cyberpunk episode that we did.
Oh, you're doing Cyberpunk 2077. Son of a bitch.
this is the big trick.
Oh, you got me.
I do hope the listeners at home enjoy us tricking each other as much as we do.
That's great, because I just started the anime today, and so far so good. I heard good things about it.
Ethan, you know what? You won best acting in grade 8 elementary school, and I love the way that you kind of acted tired with yourself on the topic at first.
So yeah, old school tabletop RPG introduced in the 80s, late 80s, hyped video game franchise from 2017, Cyberpunk 2077, obviously. And as Peter mentions, a new Netflix show, which I also started watching. I'm about halfway through. So this episode contains no spoilers for pretty much any of those. Some mild spoilers maybe for 2077 at this point, but not even big ones, honestly.
It's been out for years, like 2 years at this point.
Yeah, what? Yeah. I think more than two. Yeah, maybe 2 years. 2020? Anyway.
It was July. Matter. It was summer, yeah.
There are no spoilers for really any of the any of the Cyberpunk content that you might be experiencing if you're listening to this because you started watching the show and you want to learn more about it, or you just have played the game and are watching the show and want to learn more about it. Pete's first episode we released before Cyberpunk 2077 was out, so a lot of information was still like not evolved.
In flux, basically, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about the first three Corpo Wars. We basically talked from the start of the Cyberpunk timeline right up until 2017 was the date that we stopped that. We're basically going to be talking about 2020 to 2025, primarily this episode.
That's like
just
now.
Setting up. Yeah, exactly. Like right now. Like look out your window. There I am in Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah.
So no spoilers. Mostly just set up on Night City, why it is the way it is. And we're going to be talking about the fourth corporate war. Believe it or not, there was another one.
Yeah, great.
Can't get enough of corporate wars against each other. But I guess I can start off by saying shout out to Commodore Turtle. I'm going to give credit for this episode only because they're the first person I saw who posted the anime show, the new animated show on Netflix on our Lore Boys Discord.
Right.
So they get full credit for requesting this one, even though they didn't request it.
Claims to be a girl, but we're not sure. You never know on the internet.
Yeah, can't. Yeah, can, yeah. Asian loves the military. I don't fucking think so. Yeah. Not likely.
Who knows? Who knows? Cyberpunk. I've been meaning to come back to it. This is really exciting because I rushed the main story because I played it like on launch when it was kind of a jumble
your mess.
Yeah, it was a fun experience, but it had a lot of improving left to do.
A hell of a lot's changed. I pop in for a lot of the major patches just because they always add a couple new quests or armor or gear to get, like, anything like that. There's transmog now, so you don't need to look like a hobo wearing grocery bags anymore.
Do all the quests work?
That's nice.
Yeah, they added transmog, so any armor. So it's not retroactive. So, like, me, I'm at the level cap now. My character's a level 50. I got her there, like, 2-3 weeks ago, I guess, whenever 1.6 dropped. Sure. When you log in again, it will give you the transmog for everything that's currently in your inventory and in your stash. So like if you've owned something and gotten rid of it pre-patch, you have to loot it again. But now it's like you can save, I think it's like 5 or 6 different outfits just to look different, and then obviously the stats for whatever you're wearing are permanent.
Just transfer, cool.
And it just transfers over. The transmog's great, yeah.
How's the, did they do any improvements on the driving? Because the driving would make my computer slow down a lot, and I know other people had that problem. And also if you would hit like the tiniest bit of debris, your whole car would like flip and like do this crazy thing. And
the debris thing hasn't been a thing for a while, really.
Yeah.
The optimization when I played, because I played months after launch, and then I played again last year a fair chunk. Like I beat the game again last year. It's not perfectly optimized. I have an old graphics card, so like I have a 970, so it's not, you know, necessarily cutting edge in terms of GPUs, but I'm able to run it fine. I hate driving in that game. It's the controls are clunky and it feels bad.
Yeah.
Driving on keyboard feels bad all the time, and like I don't keep my controller plugged in to switch to when I get in a car. Like in a lot of games with, like, The Witcher, I was a big walk or ride places because it's a lovely world to be in. Cyberpunk is the same. I love that fast travel is from signposts instead of, like, from wherever you are. Like, I really like having to walk to a fast travel point. But I'm a fast travel slut in that one because I just cannot drive. I fucking hate it. I have, like, the fastest car in the game. It's too goddamn fast. And, yes, like, if you run over a sunflower seed on the road, like, sometimes you will just, like, spin out. Like,
The Witcher, you like, just stick to I'm the just path, bad at it. If you just, like, hold sprint, you don't even have to do anything, like, when you're riding somewhere. You just stick to the paths, and you only really have to make a control if you come to a Y in the road or something like that.
Of course, yeah, I know. The original cruise control.
Yeah.
I think
Roach comes with air conditioning and cruise control,
So there is keyless entry into the back of the horse too. It's great.
There is a there is an expansion coming out, which was announced a little while ago. I think it's coming out next year. 2023.
Very excited for that.
And it focuses on, you know, the president of the NUSA and you know, the NUSA itself. So we are going to talk a little bit about the formation of the NUSA on this episode as well.
One more note. About Cyberpunk, just so I can simp, one last simp for the game. 2-3 patches ago, they reworked the perk system, so you can actually have a character build now, because I know a lot of the perks were fucking broken, and also your arm augments change gameplay finally, so all that stuff that didn't work, I guess, when you if you played it in December 2020 like I did, they've really, not to give the corporation credit, right?
Not on this episode.
Not on this episode, at least. They've definitely spent a lot of time doing it. I liked it when it was shitty also, so it's like, don't maybe take my word for it, but yeah, a lot of things have been fixed.
Cool story. If you guys want the real lead up, the first three corporate wars, which kind of really set the foundation for the Cyberpunk setting, you can listen to our last episode. I re-listened to it. It's actually not that bad. Give it a listen if you guys are curious about that. I think the broad strokes is, like, corporations are in bed with governments and are more powerful than most world governments at our starting point on this episode. So while world governments do kind of swing their dicks around as much as they can, corporations are the ones with, like, the biggest armies and, you know, the most say in what we do. We have gone to space a number of times. We have orbital stations. We have Mars stations and lunar stations at this point in time.
Cool.
How did the world get to from where we are in 2020 to the point of the show and the game? Check out our first episode if you're really curious, but most of what we talk about won't require it. If you have, like, any kind of baseline understanding of the cyberpunk world at all, or just cyberpunk world in general, you can understand that corporations bad and make suffering for humanity.
Okay.
Typically criticisms of capitalism, I would say.
It's a stretch. I don't get it, but sci-fi sci-fi, right?
I mean, sci-fi. But without these corporations, we wouldn't have these wonderful body augments and be able to become superhuman, right? Even though you're poor and, like, destitute and all the rest of it.
That is true. Check out the bonus content for some of the side effects of those wonderful, wonderful augments that the corporations have So most canon cyberpunk stories take place within Night City. The show takes place in Night City. The game takes place in Night City almost entirely. It is a standalone state within the new USA. It is located where San Diego is located in real world California.
Okay.
most of the stories revolve around the all-powerful corporations who control pretty much every aspect of human existence in the cyberpunk world, right? So we have this city, which has survived those corporations declaring war on one another several times. The USA and a lot of other countries, the UK, Japan, all go through several periods of martial law. In the USA alone, the various periods of martial law, it's estimated that 100 million Americans die.
Whoa.
So that's a lot.
This doesn't happen a lot in Canada. Martial law is whenever they just use the military to enforce everything.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot in Canada. It doesn't happen a lot in any country, really. Like, right. it's basically the military becomes the government and has full rights and full control. Like, you lose all your rights. Oh. The military can tell you to do anything, and you have to do it per the laws, basically.
Oh, of course, Commodore Turtle liked this one.
So the internet at the time is known simply as the net. or, you know, being online, being woke leftist, whatever you want to call it. The internet is controlled by a number of various factions. There's some like deregulated parts of the net. There's some, you know, more regulated parts of the net. There's some corporate parts of the net. There's some
the dark
like,
web is beyond the black wall or whatever too.
No, there is no black wall at this point in time. Okay. No, there is no black wall in time. We're going to talk about the fall of the net and like why the black wall is installed basically on this episode. So the net at the time, you can interact with it as a fully integrated 3D avatar. It is like the Ready Player One, cool, you know, experience where you plug into VR and you're like walking around on the net, which is like the tangible place, the metaverse.
This kind of ties into my dream, but I'll talk about that in the bonus content.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Subscribe to our Patreon to listen to bonus content. There's a link below.
Yeah.
To keep burying the lead, just to beg for pennies.
Yeah. Yeah. The bonus content, the bonus lore of Jamie's dreams.
I slept in till literally the show already had started or should have started. And my dreams are fresh in my mind. But,
yeah. So on the net, there's a lot of people going around. All commerce is done, like all global commerce is managed there. You know, stock exchanges, everything. Everything's run on the net. That would be digital. It's full of AIs. So the first true AI was created by a company called Microtech in 2013.
Okay.
Some of the later AIs were deliberately created by corporations or governments or even individuals, people called netrunners, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
Cool. Does the AI created by Microtech have the exact same problem as the AI created by Microsoft, where within 2 hours she wanted to marry Hitler?
I mean, I can only assume that, yes, that is absolutely right.
Beautiful. Okay, good.
So some of them are deliberately created, but even by 2020, we have some who are just spontaneously created as a result of how the net itself functions. So people just creating algorithms and algorithms, and we end up with these kind of conglomerated algorithms, which then evolve like kind of naturally into AIs on the net, who are pretty scary, I guess, as far as AIs are concerned. Just like in real life, like they can outcompute us, if you will. Computers are better at computing, it turns out.
Yeah, they can break a kid's arm playing chess, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just a finger, come on.
Oh yeah.
Here goes the media again, blowing everything out of proportion. One robot breaks 1 7-year-old kid's finger. Next it's an arm, then it's a femur, neck.
I'd be worried if I was you, Pete, about when the robots wake up, because you were just telling me yesterday how you lock your Roomba into rooms for like 4 hours at a time. You don't let it come out until that room is spotless, kind of thing. Like,
I mean, it's the most efficient way to clean, frankly.
They're going to remember this.
My living room, kitchen and dining room are all just like continuously open. Like there's no doors between them.
Yeah.
And I don't like to let my Roomba in the dining room because he gets stuck under the chairs. He gets stuck under the table. He gets stuck on the little lip between the dining room and the living room. So when I clean my kitchen, I'll do the same thing. I'll lay chairs down across like the entrance to the living room from the kitchen, just so he can't get across it.
I mean, Jamie's gonna be the one who makes it through the like Skynet apocalypse, because like Ethan and I just like chain our Roombas to the radiator in the basement and abuse them for days on end.
I know, like if you're going to the trouble to like make a barricade so it cleans the kitchen, like how long does it take to sweep a kitchen?
More time than it takes to close a fucking door.
I didn't realize this was the Inquisition. What the hell?
Yeah. closing doors is quicker than sweeping, Jamie.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah.
So there are some AIs known as transcendental sentience AIs at this point in history, who most people believe aren't even real. They're something more akin to Bigfoot, which your average person will never interact with.
Okay.
But a transcendental sentience AI is basically as intelligent as, like, fully intelligent, I guess you could say.
And you can't just punch in Bigfoot.ru and go to the, like, weird, the weird website to find out that he's real.
Yeah, I mean, you can, but maybe even, like, interfacing with one wouldn't, like, tip off that one is one. There's one that's talked about as being obsessed with, like, illogic things, like just the fact that it is such a logical creature as a computer. It's like obsessed with studying the illogical, and it doesn't really talk to humans very much because it deems humans too logical or too rational, so they just bore it. So if you go and try and talk to it, it just won't respond to you because it's not interested in you, essentially. So a lot of people might go to Bigfoot.ru and be just too white bread for the AI, the Bigfoot AI, to actually talk to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's got like it's five head plates. It's 200 IQ, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
DMs are closed. So the net has these regional carve outs, kind of like I talked about a lot. Usually they're determined by where the like data centers that house those like servers that part of the net is run on are. So like there are some places in the net which are controlled by the USA because like the server house is in Denver or whatever, right?
Okay, yeah.
So like having access to the physical location means that they can kind of control more easily.
That's it. Our internet, every website's like stored somewhere in a data server. Like when we sign up for buying that domain, is buying the like to store our data through this service or whatever.
Not the domain. So buying the domain is like buying the address numbers that you put on the front of your house so people can actually find it. You can build a website and you can host a website that would be accessible by... Anyway, it's kind of complicated.
Okay,
but
so loreboys.com is our address, but WordPress houses our data.
Exactly.
Okay.
So WordPress has servers somewhere that house our data, basically.
Yeah.
And the loreboys.com is just an address, and you can find websites that don't have an address. Like you can get to websites that don't have a domain technically.
What?
That's hacker mode.
That's so cool. I wish I knew how to get to those. That's fun.
Jamie just stumbling onto the dark web.
Yeah.
Getting placed on terrorist watch lists.
Yeah. Just like a container just dropped off in front of his house one day, like 6 weeks, full of people.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was cool that there was, you know, websites without domains. I didn't mean for this.
When I get there, it's actually just a bunch of Roombas chained to a radiator. But
yeah, of course. They're all starving and skinny.
So we have these regional carve-outs. There are those lawless places that I mentioned. There are heavily controlled places, like corporate data fortresses, they're called, which is just like literally a fortress on the net where like corporations will store all their valuable data, right? Yeah. Obviously, very, very difficult to access or get into if you don't have authorization. So the year that we'll start in is, not that we'll start in, but the year is 2022 when the first net crashes.
Whoa. I don't believe it. What a future.
So it was monitored by an organization called NetWatch, essentially Interpol for the net. It was started by the EU, essentially, the parallel of the EU in this world, whose sole job was just to make sure that it couldn't crash, basically.
NetWatch is Germany's in charge, and they're going to fuck up the whole thing. Just like the EU.
No, the US fucks up the whole thing. So.
Oh, God damn it.
We'll get there. But I mean, the US and Japan fuck up the whole thing, but we'll get there. So there's people who I referenced before called Netrunners. For people who've watched the show, you've probably heard Netrunner and Edgerunner before. Edgerunners are people who... you know, fight against the system in the real world. Netrunners are people who fight against the system in the online world on the net. Whether that system's like the system of oppression as put in place by corporations, or they're fighting against the systems that the corporations want to take down. You can be a netrunner for a corporation. You can be an edge runner for a corporation, or you could be one of the quote unquote good guys who's kind of fighting against them.
They're basically the casters in the game too. Like when you play, they will start like uploading quick hacks, which are basically spells, and you can. My main character is ostensibly a netrunner because she uses a lot of quick hacks. Whereas my secondary character that I started when they kind of like patched the shit out of the game, and I want to replay it because I love it. She's much more of like a handgun, like kind of a cowgirl, more than anything.
So pretty semantic, but I would say quick hacks is actually edge running because like.
Oh, really?
You're interfacing with the real world. You're not on the net. Like, you're just interfacing with other people's Chrome or implants in the real world and affecting their implants. There's, like, some minor bits, but Netrunners are, like, very much in the game when you, like, get into an ice bath and get plugged into the internet, essentially.
Yeah,
that's when you're netrunning.
So, actually, I can think of a good real-life example of netrunning. When 4chan sends like nude videos to play in public schools and stuff like that, that'd be a net running move, right? Because they're doing it all through the internet.
Yeah, that would be net running for sure. But also just like when Anonymous, like, you know, leaks the fact that Equifax had already leaked everybody's personal information,
right,
or whatever, like that kind of stuff. Like a lot of it is like
the Church of Scientology.
Yeah. A lot of net running has like no interface with like the physical world. It is all a lot of what they do is all online. Like those data fortresses, we're not talking. I mean, there for sure is like a server house with a big steel door stopping people from getting into those data fortresses. But the data fortresses are actual online locations as well. You can think of like a big digital castle in your head that you would have to siege to get into.
Kind of. That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bunch of little zeros and ones with little spears. Or little zeros throwing little ones at a big door.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
So
yeah, because I remember T-Bug is your netrunner in the intro for Cyberpunk.
Exactly. And she doesn't like come to Arasaka or Compeki Plaza to help you and Jackie try and steal the relic. She's like off at another location, just hacking in, essentially, right? Okay. And just dealing with the interfaces. And she kills like the other netrunner that's located at Compeki Plaza, whose sole job is to stay plugged into the local net for Compeki Plaza. And like defend it from other netrunners trying to attack.
Yeah. Okay. Because I remember the intro of that game is so fucking good. But yeah, I remember that whole thing. Yeah.
All the IT people of all of our companies have to like literally fight for their lives within the network. I'm thinking of like the IT people I work with, and they're not the most intimidating people. They're awesome people, but I feel like I could win in a fight. You know,
my IT guy for effects renders is one of my favorite people ever because he is just like. Like straight up the guy you would imagine ends up as an IT guy is just like the distilled shitlord. He is he's like such a meme, and I love him to death, and he does good work. Like anytime we've got a problem, it's just like, Zach, fucking fix it.
So Zach and our IT guys would be net runners probably. They're the best at getting shit done on the net, pretty much. And there was one around this time who stood out as the best of the best. Okay. And he was known as Rake Bartmoss.
Cool. Oh yeah, I've seen Bartmoss in game.
Yeah,
cool first name.
Pop up. Yeah,
cool first name. You lost me in the second half. I got to be honest.
Rake is also spelled like R-A-C-H-E, like Rachel without the L. Oh. So I don't know if it's supposed to be Rach Bartmoss, but
is this Rabute Gulliman situation?
Yeah, exactly. Rabute Gulliman. I'm going to say Rake if that's not the correct pronunciation. I apologize. I didn't watch any videos. I was just reading. So a lot of this, 90% of the lore today comes from Cyberpunk Red, which is the tabletop module release either after 2077, I think after 2077 or just before 2077. Basically, that brings it up to like as modern as the Cyberpunk canon, the tabletop RPG, the most recent edition. Has all this info on the Fourth Corporate War and Rake Bartmoss. Although a lot of these characters go way, way back. We're going to be talking about a character later who surprised me how far they went back because I did know them from the game. So Rake started first running when he was 4 years old, which explains why his gamer tag was just his real name. Rake Bartmoss is his real name. Pete, I'm glad you recognized it. So in 2077, there's something called the Bartmoss Collective.
Yes. Which is
essentially a callback to this character. And do you remember what the Bartmoss Collective is all about?
Are they like the ethical hackers or something? Kind of. As ethical as anybody, but you do work with them, right? Because they ask you to do, they ask you for certain things, don't they? I can't remember exactly because it feels like it's in in the latter half of the game.
I don't remember like many quest lines directly involved with them, but you can get like data shards that they talk about and they kind of like preach their gospel. And I think there's we'll get into a little bit later about what I remember the Bartmoss Collective being. And
I played the main quest 2 years ago, and the fact that I remembered that is
they're not
astounding.
They're not in the main quest, the Bartmoss Collective.
That's why I don't know them especially.
Yeah. No, by which I mean like the most time I spent with the game was 2 years ago, and like now I reinstall like every once in a while for like, oh, let's see how the new patch is. Still good, perfect, and then I move on to something else.
Exactly. Yeah. So Rake Bartmoss, that's his real name. It was probably a mistake to use his real name, but he had made it when he was 4, and then he's like, I got so much shit on my account, I don't want to like start a new account, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, as he's getting older, he's making a name for himself as like a very online person. And he kind of realizes that he is very good at net running, and he realizes, like, I can have my real name out there because I'm good enough to protect myself.
Right. That's a Chad move. He's killed so many boars or whatever. He's he's got all the currency. He's got all the gear. He's ready to go,
And it's true. He is able to protect himself.
Yeah.
For a time, of course.
Yeah.
Oh.
He will have a reckoning.
I don't remember speaking to him at any point, so the time seems to be limited here.
Yeah. So Rake worked for corporations for a time. He'd inevitably get fired for doing distinctly anti-establishment things, like injecting anti-corporate propaganda into corporate code. There was one company that he essentially, he built something for them called a daemon subroutine, which we'll talk a bit about later.
It's DA, right? Because you can get you can upload daemons through Quick Hacks as well.
This one, the original spelling was just daemon, and daemons were a thing in the tabletop game, and there was like different levels of ones that you could do, which are essentially like little hacker tools, like to break into stuff, similar to the daemons from 2077.
There was like a early legitimate software to legitimately acquire music. There was like. Daemon tools was a thing that I knew. Daemon tools, but it was DA as well. I thought it was weird. Yeah. It was just like, if you wanted to,
used to rip CDs, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you create ISO files. Anyway, I don't know anything about that.
Me either. I've never done anything. So, I don't even know what an ISO file is.
So he creates these daemons for this company, which is like this revolutionary technology that's very, very useful for getting into, like, it's a specific kind of subroutine. Everybody's like, wow, that's incredible. An incredible invention, basically. Then he injects some anti-corporate propaganda into some of their code, which they don't like, so they fire him. By sheer coincidence, their entire code base is fried within a week and completely unusable, and they soon go out of business.
They had a fireman switch, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So rubbing salt in the wound, Rake then sells the source code for those daemons that he developed for that company to several other companies, and makes himself enough money that he never needs to work again. He's he's a billionaire. He enjoys that money as an eccentric recluse, really. Like he's still very online, but he just spends his time kind of doing like random acts of destruction or random acts of altruism or whatever, just kind of like playing the chaotic jester on the web.
I mean, it straight up is just like a regular person on the internet now, like someone who is like terminally online, just does all those things currently in the fictional year of our Lord 2022.
Yeah.
And wow. He's kinda like, go ahead.
Kind of like Elon Musk, but not evil. Yeah. This guy.
Unlike Elon Musk, has accomplished things and doesn't just like show a JPEG of a glass dome on Mars and then get $1 billion for it.
Unlike Elon Musk, actually smart. Actually, you know what? Maybe he's nothing like Elon Musk. Maybe he's like the opposite of Elon Musk.
Sorry, Jamie, what were you saying? We cut you off twice.
It's too late now. Let's keep going.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So just one of the many pranks he plays as an eccentric millionaire. He buys out a building, an apartment building, at the end of a area known as the combat zone in Night City, which is basically just like the police have pulled out. They said like it's all gang territory. There's no laws in that one part of Night City because we can't control it, kind of thing. He evicts everyone in the building who doesn't have a neural implant at the time. A neural implant is basically something that allows your brain to interact directly with software to like get on the net or install shards into your neck or whatever it might be.
It's a USB where every time somebody was just like, oh, here, we could have put this on paper, but instead this little like click-click thing, just put that in the back of your head. Yeah. It's like, all right, never mind. I could tell you, but you should probably put this in your skull.
It's like the social insurance number of the future, you know? Like, everyone's kind of have one to apply for apartments and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
How do you really trust that someone's not off the grid if they don't have a neural implant, you know? Yeah.
Thank God I memorized my SIN number because I lost my card at some point. I have no idea where it is.
I might memorize too.
What is yours memorized?
So he evicts everybody in the building that he buys who doesn't have a neural implant, but he doesn't leave vacancies open for long. Instead, he only rents out the apartment to people who do have neural implants. And once the building is full, he installs a subconscious personality program into each and every one of them to influence their decisions, essentially brainwashing them and just mind controlling them. which was absolutely revolutionary technology at the time, totally proprietary, and just something that he kind of did for fun. It seems like I couldn't find any reason why he did this other than
what if brainwash my tenants.
Yeah, just sticking around. Yeah. What if I bought a building to get tenants to then brainwash? Because he bought the building for this, essentially. So
he needed a test group. I see.
Exactly. That wasn't the only thing that he was working on. Busybody that he was. He gets so sweaty in the net that his physical body up and dies for unknown causes, essentially. And he had basically systems in place that if his sensors detected that his body died, he just gets instantly submerged in like a permanent ice bath with full life support systems. So his physical body is like to all intents and purposes dead, but he's still connected to the net as a consciousness.
Yeah, he's a fucking WoW Classic pre-patch god in this case, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I was gonna say, man, this sounds like a really cool option.
Yeah, you're not gonna miss a second of it.
All you need to do is sell computer viruses to a corporation to make billions of dollars, so I can.
Well, who's gonna walk your dog, Jamie? If you are physically dead,
did you even think of ice, dude?
I'll get an ice bath for her too. It'll be fine. She'll be my. Okay. I'll play a hunter. I'll play a hunter.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
That's even worse. You've made this more horrifying.
Why? We're now immortal. Like
ice tanks.
Killing your dog before you kill yourself in an ice tank.
No. No. There's sensors.
What a dog do on the internet, Jamie? Come on.
There's sensors, man. They'll figure it out. I'm a billionaire at this point. I'll make a robot Roomba to walk my dog. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Unchain one of them.
Yeah.
Put yourself on the hit list for the Robocalypse, huh?
Yeah.
So in this time, he continues to work mostly on his own projects. He's working on a big project at the time while also meeting some fancy figures like the aforementioned Transcendental Sentience AIs. So he's like one of those ones who can kind of figure out how they work. He describes a handful of them. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to give you guys an example of what some of these guys are like, there's the Europa AI. Highly intelligent, as it has the best infrastructure, like physical infrastructure. It's described by Rake as very intellectual with a fondness of puzzles more complex than the human mind could comprehend. Shortly after speaking to Rake, it vanishes entirely. Like, there's no more traces of it on the net. Nobody can seem to find it. Rake surmises it was likely working on something so grandiose that it had just kind of like left the humans behind, something like communicating with aliens, he suspects, or maybe trying to escape the net altogether, which he figures is actually possible for this thing because it's so intelligent.
Dang.
And just like becoming a, like taking over a factory somewhere and making like robots for itself. But
okay, cool.
Nobody knows where it is at time of writing, I guess. He describes some others.
We lost track of the hyper-intelligent AI, and we'll just put that off.
All of a sudden, all the Roombas like know how to dock themselves. They clean efficiently. Yeah. It's like, yeah, wait, they figured it out.
They start spreading cat fur all around my apartment instead of sucking it up. I'm just like, ah!
Yeah, leaving through your cat door and like walking down the street to this game. Yeah.
I had, when I was coming to see you yesterday, because I had vacuumed. Well, I had vacuumed. I hit the button on it. But I was thinking, I was like, I wonder how far down the street it could get if I took it outside. Like, I didn't have that, like, I didn't have that little daydream of just like, I wonder.
Yeah, keep our streets clean, you know?
Yeah. Just put a gun and a police hat on it.
So he describes some others, and he describes kind of how they exist and like how they exist in regions. And like, I thought it's a good way of imagining like the net as more of a metaphysical space instead of like just like the internet, I guess. He talks about how like they're set up in regions and they can kind of take over each other's regions. So I guess like each other's processors. He describes one, which is known as 01. He says it's extremely paranoid due to the encroachment of another transcendental sentience AI known as Rusty. And he says the encroachment is like it's being eaten alive, which is what's making 01 so paranoid, because this one AI is just being eaten by another AI, and it's like naturally all like a little stressed about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jeez.
I like the name Rusty though. I'm on his side.
Yeah, so that one's named Rusty because it's located in the Rust Belt, and it's considered the AI for the Rust Belt area of the United States.
Okay.
Rake's peaceful life on the net, meeting the who's who. And, you know, living the good life. yeah. will not go undisturbed forever, as I kind of alluded to before. While all this is going on, we do have some rumblings in the corporate world. So we have had three corporate wars to date. You can check out our previous episode. And another is brewing. So there's two rival corps, Otek and Sino, and they're at each other's throats. They decide that to really kick this corporate, you know, disagreement into a corporate conflict, they decide to get two bigger corporations involved, Militech and Arasaka.
Okay.
So
yes.
One thing in our like current canon, real life Earth world, which two corps would you like to see go up against each other? Because I'd imagine they have different powers. Like Nestle could, like Nestle versus Starbucks. Starbucks would lose because they wouldn't have any water to make the coffee, right?
Yeah. Like, well, Nestle would have all those slaves that they could use too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
they
yeah.
have slaves. They, oh God.
None of Nestle slaves have any hands, so they can't shoot guns. They would have. Oh, no. They'd have to.
Great question, Jamie. Great question, huh?
I was trying to phrase it like we could wipe out some corporations here. Yeah. I'm not trying to. Handless slaves.
I'd say Amazon and Facebook, just the two big boys, you know, a kaiju clash, the big guys yeah. going at each other okay, at the top. Yeah.
Drones I versus guess, the metaverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate social media more than I hate corporations. So Facebook, definitely.
I mean, yeah, I will say Amazon, while I do everything in my power to not buy things off Amazon, it does do more for me than Facebook, I think. So,
yeah. Yeah, and like nobody watched whatever, watched a streaming show on Amazon Prime and then tried to break into the Capitol to kill Mike Pence. So I think like I think Facebook might be worse.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. In reality, maybe Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, so as soon as Amazon put the Rings of Power up, all these people who are just so easily influenced went to New Zealand to try and throw rings into their volcanoes or whatever.
Oh, I guess two people I would love to get rid of, I suppose. It would definitely be like Tesla versus Facebook. I don't care which of those reptiles goes down, but I think like all his, again, like all his JPEGs of like cool batteries then Mark Zuckerberg just being creepy and Facebook being horrible. Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
They're all bad. Yeah. Any of them could go down. So we got Militech. Exactly.
Whoever wins, we win.
So we've got Militech, who's the big name in the USA, recognizable from the games for sure. And we've got Arasaka, who's the big name in Japan, recognizable from the games as well. These are probably the two biggest companies in the world.
Arasaka is like the main antagonist of 2077. The game.
Yeah, Arasaka probably having the edge over Militech for being the bigger company as well. Globally, regionally, like kind of everything. They both have presences in the USA, in Night City, in Japan, in Brazil, in Hong Kong, like all over the place, basically. And they already didn't like each other. We're probably looking for a reason to kind of go to war with each other again when these two smaller companies, Otek and Sino, kind of each one recruits one, you know, and says like, my brother's going to beat you up. No, my brother's going to beat you up. So tensions continue to rise between the two smaller companies. It's making things uncomfortable for local governments, who step in and do the government thing and get involved. The governments start seizing isolated, aka undefended, property of the corporations. Both the small corporations and Militech and Arasaka, they're like basically saying like, hey, your shit's in the USA. You have these plants in the USA. We're seizing all the Arasaka and Militech plants in the USA.
Okay.
And we're taking control of them because you're within our borders kind of thing. It doesn't cool tensions between the corporations all that much, honestly. More scraps break out until eventually global pressure forced both corporations to the negotiation table. When I say both corporations, I mean Otek and Sino, not Militech and Arasaka at this point. They're not negotiating with governments yet. Their role in the conflict had outgrown their original contractual obligations. So they're being real go-getters, you know, and going against what they were paid to do, essentially. It's these two megacorps who kick off the fourth corporate war. But more on that after the break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The brewing Fourth Corporate War had erupted into full-on conflict at this point. On June 9th, 2022, Arisaka forces attacked a Militech factory in Virginia, while Militech-backed mercenaries massacre the employees of an Arisaka factory in Yokohama. By mid-July, strikes on Militech and Arisaka facilities were a daily occurrence. Welcome back from the break, everybody.
Jeez.
We're at war. Corporate war. Yeah. The Fourth Corporate War. At this point, we know the ropes. We know the drill.
We know it, yeah. We've been there. I looked it up over the break. Militech sounds so, like, military, right? I was like, well, what does Arisaka mean?
Okay.
And I looked it up, and it means storm or tempest, but it's also the name of a very popular rifle in Japan.
Oh.
Which I think Commodore Turtle said in general chat one time. But
it sounds familiar, yeah. Yeah. Commodore Turtle has been posting some cyberpunk lore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this war is being fought on all fronts across the globe. Like I said, Yokohama, in Virginia. So, you know, Arisaka attacking on U.S. soil, Militech attacking on Japanese soil without too much like hesitation. And the governments are just, they're like, no, stop, guys, come on. Like the tiny child holding onto an adult's like the hem of their shirt, essentially trying to pull them back from getting into a fight.
I mean, that's kind of the way things work nowadays, really.
Yeah. Both corporations are looking for ways to secure yet another battlefront at this time in the net. So a Militech agent reaches out to the net's best runner in Rake Bartmoss to fight Arisaka online. Rake was wary, of course, of getting involved again with corporations. He's like, you're Militech. Why would I help you?
I'm thinking he's like obese, like obese. He's been dead for weeks in his ice bath, and the guy comes in. He's just like the government guy comes into his house. He's just like, "How did you find me here?" He's like, "Well, I knew where you'd be. We needed the best." And it's just like the same address for months, just like rotting in an ice bath, just
a rotting corpse, and like a government contract just laid across its chest, like. Our arms contract laid across his face. So they reach out to Bartmoss, to Rake. He's got all the money that he could ever need, especially now that he doesn't have a physical body that he's got to like feed and like worry about housing and all that, really.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, nah, I probably won't do it, you know, whatever. But he's convinced actually by another netrunner that maybe it'd be in everyone's best interest if he did help Militech against Arisaka. So this other netrunner had been abducted by Arisaka nearly 10 years prior to be experimented on with prototype software known as Soul Killer.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Sounds
this
nice.
Netrunner's name is Alt Cunningham.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So heavily featured in 20, or this is the minor spoilers for 2077, maybe. Alt was featured in 2077. Alt was first featured in the mini adventure Never Fade Away, which is the name of the main storyline in 2077.
Yes.
But the mini adventure was first published in the original core rules in 1988. So Alt Cunningham is as old as Cyberpunk.
Cool. So, okay, cool. Yeah.
I have a question about that. So I know what Control Cunningham, Control Vunningham does, but what does Alt Cunningham do?
Okay.
You can restart your computer without using the start menu.
Okay,
cool.
So Never Fade
all
Away.
Morningham, actually.
Never Fade Away, this adventure published in the first edition, is considered by most the start of the original storyline. So like the start of all cyberpunk stories, canon stories, starts with Alt Cunningham and Soul Killer. So in 2077, when you're playing it, this is like as old as Cyberpunk gets, basically, is this storyline with Alt Cunningham.
Cool. I mean, it does make sense considering CD Projekt worked with Mike Pondsmith, the guy who set it up. Like, I guess if he was going to realize anything, it would be his OG story.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So Alt, who had been stranded on the net since her consciousness was severed from her body while being saved by her on-again, off-again boyfriend, Johnny Silverhand, managed to reach Rake and tell him about Soul Killer and the dangers that Arasaka presented to the world. So she reaches Rake and tells him they have this thing called Soul Killer, which can rob people's consciousness from their body to be imprisoned for all time. Right. It's pretty fucked up. Maybe you should help Militech take down Arasaka. So when Militech reaches out to him, Rake takes the contract, knowing that working with Militech might allow him to wound Arasaka or maybe potentially take them out. It's a little weird. Rake is able to break into Arasaka. He manages to find Soul Killer. I don't know what he had planned to do with Soul Killer, but he doesn't get a chance to do it. Corporate agents manage to track Rake's signal. Arasaka corporate agents manage to track Rake's signal. And they kill him for good. Like, for good, you know?
Okay.
Thankfully, like any good terrorist in the eyes of the state, he has a backup plan. He has a dead man switch. So 2 weeks after he dies, he releases something called the Rabbids virus onto the net.
Damn it, Ubisoft.
This is why I told you not to let your dog on the internet, James.
Oh, because it'll become rabid.
There's rabbits everywhere. Yeah. It'll make a rabid.
So rabbits, or roving autonomous BARTMOS interface drones, was designed to breach all corporate data fortresses and unleash that data onto the net for all to access.
Okay.
So he's basically WikiLeaks, I guess.
Cool. Oh, okay. Yeah. Alt Cunningham was in the ice bath in the Panamanian embassy or whatever the fuck he was saying.
Yeah. Rake BARTMOS, but yeah.
Excuse me. Yes.
So net traffic, when the rabbits is released, and this is like built with his demons essentially. So he unleashes like all these demons on the net, and then he has these drones which go out and like, attack the data fortresses. Is their intention to like tear down the castle walls for all those virtual castles that we were talking about before, right? Net traffic comes to a grinding halt. Corporations lose billions as the stock market destabilizes and then crashes, and huge swaths of internet data are corrupted by these demons and these drones. Cool. So the most profound effect of all this was on the myriad AIs who had called this place their home.
Oh, no.
Perhaps as a result of the corrupted data, or maybe simply the rapid changes to their environment, the AIs mutated into something extremely dangerous, these very powerful entities. Suddenly unshackled by systems which used to hold them, processes which used to contain them, would limit them to certain regions. They're basically just like undergoing puberty and they don't know how to control their hormones with all this data changing and being flooded into the net.
Yeah, they're vacuuming with reckless abandon.
Exactly.
Sucking up cat fur off the cat instead of off the
yeah. Yeah, putting it onto the dog and vice versa.
Yeah.
So we've got military grade AIs corrupted by their sudden freedom. This means that the net becomes unstable and pretty unusable for a lot of humanity in the immediate, which does definitely affect communications and global trade. Global trade ceases for a time, so like really into the martial law territory now.
Yeah,
martial law does get declared again during the Fourth Corporate War. While people are able to build temporary firewalls to protect certain areas, inevitably, if a rogue AI decides that it wants to break in and peel all your shit apart, there's not too much you can seemingly do against it. They're too powerful and they're too smart. So if they just want to like tear down your walls that you're building again, they can just do it willy-nilly whenever they want. Some people are able to stay relatively protective. The big corporations do better than most, probably, because they have, 100,000 net runners all plugged in fighting off these AI or just deflecting these AI and counter espionage, all that stuff.
They can work. They can work all their bright eyed net runners to death with overtime if they have to, basically.
the recovery of a modern workable net basically wouldn't happen for another decade. There's like another 10 years where the net is just like in a really unusable state, essentially.
Wow. So you can't like plug your little thing in anymore, right? Because then your whole body's at risk from an AI.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting yourself at risk anytime you go on the net, for sure. So, like, you can do it, but, like, it's risky, absolutely.
That sounds like regular advice for today, actually.
Yeah.
Like, when you go on, like, Amazon to order toilet paper, you have to put on, like, a sword and shield and fight off demons to get there. It's insane.
So, meanwhile, in the real world, the fourth corporate war is in full swing. Oh, actually, the Bartmas Collective from Cyberpunk 2077, what they're all about is tearing down the Black Wall.
Okay.
Which we'll get into. The Black Wall is essentially what they eventually put into place to hold off the rogue AIs. They like section them off, pen them off in a section of the net to make the rest of the net more usable.
Now, I guess spoilers for Cyberpunk, maybe if I'm correct, that's where you need to contact Alt, right? Is on the other side of the Black Wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, certain endings involve the Black Wall and transcending transcendentalism.
I don't remember the Black Wall at all, man. I don't know. I gotta replay
it. If you were speedrunning the game in 2020, like replaying it now, it'll definitely be like a 99% completely fresh experience.
Yeah, you guys, yeah, I want to re-download it, especially after talking about it. It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So in the real world, we got the corporate war in full swing with people and guns and stuff. It had spread to space with attacks going on in orbit between Militech and Arasaka. Like, space control is the new air control. Like, orbit control is the new air superiority, right? If you're able to just launch attacks from space, there's not much that a person on the ground can realistically do.
If there was, like, a Call of Duty flavored mod or prequel, I think that one of the corporate wars would probably be a fun game. Like, not an RPG, not open world, just like an 8-hour shooter of like the corporate war seems like pretty crazy, right? Like, there's so much you can do in this world that, like, post, not that Cyberpunk is not fan fucking tastic, right? But like a prequel to this would all, like a Cyberpunk 2050 would be wild, right?
Was Gears of War that had like things up in the space, they just like sent tungsten rebar down and it was basically an explosion.
Tungsten bar was a real thing, but we talked about the like the Ivan's cannon or whatever from Gears of War.
The Hammer of Dawn is Gears Hammer of War. Of it's a laser. But the rebar, the orbital like rods, is from Call of Duty Ghosts.
Okay.
It was like a real thing that was experimented with during the Cold War, was dropping a bar, a telephone pole of tungsten from orbit, which would basically go off like a nuke.
It's green artillery because it doesn't have any radiation or anything, and the kinetic energy obviously has no like carbon footprints.
Yeah, it's good for nature.
Raytheon is now carbon neutral. They're just dropping like titanium rods from orbit, dude. Yeah. That's great.
So space travel gets disrupted by war happening in space, obviously.
Yeah, no kidding.
Two corporations are busy trading casualties. The city of Chicago, which was still being rebuilt from the last war, was basically destroyed completely by Arasaka. So Militech had been working on, since before the war, Militech had been working on the Chicago rebuilding project. Arasaka releases a virus bomb in the city to just be like, stay away from Chicago. Don't bother rebuilding it.
Does Chicago have any landmarks that I can't think of one?
They've got the Bean.
Yeah, okay. So it's just like there's like this like old like kind of like Scruffy the janitor from Futurama. He's just like wiping one last smear off the Bean. He's like like, yep. It's a job well done. And then immediate virus bomb.
Just
right?
a Coke can with like an alarm clock taped to it just like rattles onto frame next to him and slowly releases a gas. Like, not to be outdone.
That's your idea of a cyberpunk virus bomb.
Yeah. Not to be outdone, in Busan, South Korea, it had to be evacuated. The entire city had to be evacuated after Militech released a bioplague, which kills thousands.
Oh.
Hong Kong was in ruins, and Rio de Janeiro was destroyed completely by late September 2022, which like is like a week and a half. So sorry, guys.
late September is the 18th.
As they've been turned, both those places have been turned into just major battlegrounds by the two corporations. So they're just like on the ground fighting in them and just completely shelled them to nothing. Fun little aside, during the Fourth Corporate War, we have a little Matryoshka doll of a war called the Seven-Hour War. So O'Neill 2 is a series of four orbital space stations.
Okay.
And they declare independence from the European Space Agency during a worker revolt, which took place during the Fourth Corporate War.
Okay.
The European Space Agency was too busy fighting in said Fourth Corporate War that it could not immediately quell the worker uprising. So they declare independence, the workers on this space station. The EU is like, yeah, okay, sure. We'll deal with you after kind of thing, but we're kind of busy right now. But the USA and Japan, who are both desperate to gain more orbital stations, quickly recognize O'Neill 2's status as a sovereign state to try and get them on like their sides, essentially, leading to the orbital space stations becoming the first nations to be established off of Earth.
Okay, cool.
And that it only took 7 hours. Wow. Easy.
And I got an additional fun fact on top of our mini fun fact here. O'Neill 2 is located at Earth's Lagrange Point 3, Peter. I think it's a throwback to Killzone.
Yeah, because we talked about the Lagrange. It was like a actual scientific thing that is beyond my smooth little brain. But yeah, the Lagrange point is where
a bunch of Helgen men with long beards go and play guitar and talk about drinking beer and women and
of course, yeah,
Lagrange.
So like they're it's basically like points in orbit around one body, like Earth, that is, it'll make it continue to orbit Earth, even though the sun is also impacting its orbit. So it wouldn't just be like a perfect orbit around Earth, because you can't just ignore the sun in the solar system.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's basically like there's these five points which work to orbit certain bodies based on other nearby bodies, which are called Lagrange points.
Wait.
It's gonna be Elon Musk's next JPEG. Is like he wants to eliminate the Lagrange point.
What's the application of that though? The five points that like the sun affects it at all points, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you could like if the Earth was just floating like in between galaxies, like there's nothing else nearby,
right?
You could set up an orbit around Earth, but that orbit wouldn't work near the sun if that body that you're trying to set up in orbit, that space station, let's say,
right,
is too big.
Oh, and that's the Lagrange point. Is it, if it gets too big, then it doesn't work anymore.
At a certain point, like terrestrial bodies will be affected by like man-made terrestrial structures will be affected by other terrestrial bodies, right? So the Lagrange point is just like a fancy way of saying like it's in orbit, essentially.
Yeah,
is my understanding.
I thought after you said that, I thought it would be the point at which it became too big to orbit anymore.
No.
I don't think it's like the center of gravity where like if you lower the center of gravity or something, it depends on like when you can knock it over. The Lagrange point is far more complex. Like, okay. I did not understand it at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's several here. I posted it in the chat. You can mull on it while I continue with the episode.
No, I'm here. I'm here to listen, buddy.
back to the Fourth Corporate War. That was just a fun little aside about Lagrange because they came up again. I always have a chuckle whenever I read them now, thinking about Killzone. So in the fall of 2022, the governments of Southern California and the Republic of Texas both nationalized all Arisaka and Militech facilities within their borders. So they're becoming like not just locked down, but like nationalized now. Now they're like, you know what? They're not Militechs anymore. They're not Arisakas anymore. They're ours, essentially.
Cool.
We're the Republic of Texas. We're Southern California. We have an Arisaka facility and we have a Militech facility, right?
Okay.
Days after, the European Economic Community declared that if all hostilities within their borders did not cease, they would do the same and ultimately decide to. Like, both megacorps were basically like given the ultimatum: like, if you guys don't stop fighting, then we're gonna nationalize all your factories in Europe.
Yeah, all these staplers are gonna belong to France. So, like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, sure, we'll stop. And then there's an attack on a Militech showroom with like a nerve agent or whatever. And the EU basically says like, okay, yeah, we're nationalizing all factories. They both Megacorps pout. They say it was a false flag operation used it just as an excuse to seize their property, blah, blah, blah.
Fake news.
Yeah. Emboldened by the Westerners, Japan decided that they should do the same and nationalize Arisaka facilities within their borders. So it does seem like the governments are not having the war. You know, they're not into it. They're actually working for the people, not the corporations so far. Which is, yeah, very, very fictional, right?
Yeah, I believe the Daemons and the Black Wall way before I fucking believe that. Yeah.
So Saburo Arisaka, head of the company, decided for the Prime Minister of Japan that it wasn't in Japan's best interest to nationalize, while Saburo's son, Yorinobu, fed information to the government of Japan to try and assist in the nationalization efforts.
So in the game, those names.
In the games, you meet Saburo and you meet Yorinobu. It's talked a bit about how, like, when Yorinobu was younger, he, like, betrayed his father and everything. This is essentially, like, the betrayal when he's, like, going against his father's wishes. Okay. Saburo's eldest son, Kai, who is stationed in Night City, swears that he will kill Yorinobu the next time he sees him, essentially. So, like, fully just betrayed the family.
Wow.
Ultimately, thanks to Yorinobu's efforts at feeding the government information, many of Arisaka's local assets are taken under the control of the Japanese government, and the United States takes this opportunity to try and end the conflict. So Elizabeth Kress is the current president of the United States and former president of Militech. She works with the current Militech CEO to cease all offensive operations, which the current Militech CEO does not want to do. But she's like, we're going to cease offensive operations. So yeah. We can keep defending ourselves from Arisaka, but we're going to stop attacking to hopefully end it.
Hey, listen, we wage proxy wars in foreign countries, idiot. Stop it.
Exactly. Not in Kentucky, man. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
they've had it bad enough. Thank you. I've never been to Kentucky.
I went through Kentucky. I did go to a KFC. It was excellent. Yeah.
There's a guy who my mom worked with, and his name was Bucky, and he was from Kentucky. And we loved that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
In Bucky.
I know that the chef holding the drumstick, Kentucky is the drumstick if you like color in that map of the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a shirt that says Old Ham, and Oldham is a county in Kentucky. That's all I know about it.
Oh, yeah. And your yellow toque. You look very college football right now, actually.
Thank you.
I just started up the university football. I could hear it from my apartment. Like, it's going wild yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, the Hornets?
Yeah.
I guess it's like more fans at attendance after COVID kind of thing.
Yeah, it must be.
This year more than last year, definitely more than the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got Militech. They've stopped all offensive operations. In the east, with Arisaka's local offices under Japan's control, hostilities do also cease. In the east. So there's no more fighting in Asia no more fighting in Asia or Oceania, basically. In the west, however, Arisaka is still being pretty aggro, honestly. President Kress had long wanted Arisaka removed from North America altogether. So, like, all their factories, all their everything removed from North America.
Yeah, she wanted to ban 5G and TikTok, basically.
Exactly. If not for patriotism to her country, then her patriotism to her former company, right? So eventually, there's only one real battleground remaining, the independent state of Night City. So they're outlawed in the U.S., Arisaka, at this point. They're all shut down there. But Night City, which is, like I said, in modern-day San Diego, so Southern California, is independent. And President Kress doesn't have the authority to go in and tell them to just ban Arisaka. Kai Arisaka, whom I mentioned before, the firstborn son of Saburo, was stationed in Night City and kept the torch burning hot. In the Arisaka tradition, he would not step back from what he perceived as an offense to the Arisaka name. So he's like very much like, nope, we're not going to lose this war. Absolutely not. You know, they've slandered us. They've done this. They've done attacks. It's a dishonor. Cannot do it. Will not.
Saburo's in 2077, right?
Saburo is in 2077.
Yeah, he's the old guy. He hired Adam Smasher, who, like, I want to do an episode on just him because he's so fucking cool.
Do we meet that character? Not, well, Adam Smasher, I know we do, but the other guy as well in one of those, like, you have to, like, fast forward and rewind and, like, listen to the right clues in order
to... Oh, the brain dance?
The brain dance, yeah.
His son is fucking the madam of like a whorehouse, basically.
You meet Yorinobu in a brain dam.
Those were my least favorite mechanics of the entire game. It took me out of the game every time. I was like, okay, I feel like I'm just missing something. I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, I just want to move on. Give me a dialogue. Give me dialogue. That's fine. Give me a cutscene. I don't want this.
That's funny. I love the brain dances. The music is great, and like the weird like cyber effects are great too.
But they're very like Hitman, which is very Pete's wheelhouse. You know?
Yeah.
Like, look at all the little clues and play with every little thing to see how it interacts with other things. Like,
I think turn all the knobs.
I think I beat it in like 3 or 4 days. And every time I like quit at night, it was usually at a brain dance. I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. It's too late. I'm going to bed. I'll figure it out in the morning. Yeah. But
Well, I can see why the investigation part of the game would slow you down at 3 a.m.
Well, yeah, I do stay up late. Yeah. I was late for our 1 p.m. record time today.
Yeah, that's true.
So Kai here is fully behind his father's war. Even in the West, he's like, "Yep, I'll be the I don't care if it costs me my life. I'll make sure that Arasaka stays strong in the West no matter what. You guys can stop fighting in the East, but if you want me to keep fighting in the West, I'll do it." So Arasaka forces continue to pour into Night City at this point. And there's basically just like open warfare in the streets, similar to a lot of other ones. We talked about those combat zones earlier on, where it's probably just like full-on open warfare in Night City. From this forward post on the West Coast, Arasaka engineered an assault of subterfuge against its enemies, including the United States. So we have a number of prominent political figures who get murdered while connected to the net. Targeted assassinations with Arasaka's Soul Killer tech are affecting policy change. And the Westerners are losing ground in Night City. So they're being pushed back. Eventually, Militech considers Night City a lost cause and pulls out entirely of Night City. So it's Arasaka territory now. Okay. They decide that they need a new approach to destroying Arasaka, whether it's elsewhere, whether it's, you know, a renewed assault on Night City. Eventually, they realize that they can't stay in Night City. So they're off to the drawing board. They're back in the United States proper. They're like, okay, well, let's draw up some other tactics, I guess. When their plans change pretty quickly. On August 20th, 2023, a small nuclear device was detonated in Arasaka Tower in Night City, killing 12,000 employees.
Oh boy.
The explosion destroyed the building utterly, sending debris from the tower into nearby buildings and setting off a chain reaction of devastation. In the game 2077, you play out the planting of the bomb in Arasaka Tower as Johnny Silverhand. So Johnny Silverhand looking for revenge for his, whom he thinks is killed and is in a lot of senses killed, ex-girlfriend Alt Cunningham, has staged this attack on the tower with Spider Murphy, who is a friend of Rake Bartmoss's, with Rogue, who's a character that you meet in the game.
Rogue's great too, yeah.
Spider Murphy knock on his door, not too loud, not too quiet.
Don't call him that.
Yeah, don't call him
that. Have we told that story on the
I don't think so. I met a guy named Spider Mike one time, and that was basically like they told me his name, but told me not to call him that, knock on his door loud, but not too loud. It was a very uncomfortable experience meeting this guy. But,
There's Johnny Silverhand, Rogue, Spider Murphy, and Morgan Blackhand, who's a name that you hear a lot in the game as like a legendary old edge runner. Yeah. He was, I think, canonically in that party as well. I think he's like the canonical player character, like the V. So you don't ever see him in 2077, but I think he's supposed to be like your default player character is supposed to be Morgan Blackhand. He has a ton of backstory to him too. If anyone's interested, you can go read. There's a bunch of comics set in Cyberpunk and all the editions have like a ton of lore as well.
Awesome. Also spoilers. I've only ever played I've used the female voice cause I don't like the male voice actor. I always play a chick in Cyberpunk. The V is an initial for your actual name. I have no idea what the guy's name is, but like canonically the player character's name is Valerie, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay.
A nuke goes off in Arasaka Tower. There's gas line explosions, transformer explosions, intense fires. Those are all the least of the troubles because by the end, the corporate center of Night City is a radioactive hot zone, obviously. Allows Militech to come back in and kick Arasaka out of Night City and out of the USA for essentially like 25 years. In 2077, when you like Arasaka is relatively new newly allowed back into Night City.
Oh, okay.
Relatively speaking, they've probably been there for like a decade or whatever.
Yeah.
But like they haven't been there the whole time. They were kicked out. This is finally the end of the fourth corporate war. The U.S., with President Kress leading them, engages in a PR campaign to place the blame for the explosion solely on Arasaka. So they claim that the nuclear device was a scorched earth failsafe that Arasaka detonated when they realized they couldn't possibly hold off the superior forces of Militech.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So heavy with the propaganda.
For the next expansion does have a woman talking to V. So I wonder if she's still, is she still around in 2077?
I believe, so I didn't actually look into it, but I do think it might be,
Loreboy's pre-release canon based off one trailer.
I don't remember if they say her name. We know it's the president of the United States. She's still alive canonically. She's born in 1978. In 2060, she's still alive. So
okay.
Definitely could be her. Like, people live much, much longer in Cyberpunk, thanks to, you know, all the implants and things to keep them alive, like medical technology in general.
Oh yeah, so, the adrenochrome, obviously.
I saw the trailer. My first thought was it would be. I don't think they'll add a new president when they already have a president who's canonically not dead. But
yeah,
maybe they
will. Yeah. Because there's a lady talking to V who's like taking the oath of office or something, where it's like, yeah, I, V, do solemnly swear to serve the United States or the new United States of America. I'm stoked as fuck on that. I'm not going to lie. Like, so, I'm fanboy out.
after releasing the press release, President Kress, trying to foster a sense of unity, then declares that the country was rebranding as the NUSA with a less centralized government. It would turn out similar to the United States of the 19th century, with Washington, D.C. controlling the East Coast, which some considered by some to be more civilized, while west of the Mississippi reverts to essentially the Wild West.
Take that, Commodore. East Coast.
East Coast, Beast Coast, baby.
So it's kind of split into the Wild West is like the West Coast is essentially like much less decentralized. Like, the East Coast still has some semblance of modern government, I guess. Okay. But on the West, which kind of makes sense why Night City is allowed so much free reign. They always were an independent city state, but even now all around them is kind of just all independent city states.
Like the Badlands and shit like that. That's like all the open world map, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. Eventually, again, like 10 years-ish after the events of the Fourth Corporate War, Netwatch establishes the Black Wall, which is their own AI built to control and deflect rogue AIs who still wandered the old net. So again, they build this AI called the Black Wall, which is just designed to be a firewall against other AIs, essentially,
right,
and not let them through. Netwatch then closes all major nodes to the old net, leaving no access for the AI or anyone, as you'll learn in Cyberpunk 2077, really, to get past the Black Wall. There's basically no way to get past it to the old AIs. The Bartmoss Collective, they're all about like, they seem kind of like culty. They seem kind of like a religious movement. And they're like, what Bartmoss wanted was to free the AIs. So like, that's what we should do. But going back and looking at it, he didn't actually want to free the AIs. He just wanted to like crash the data fortresses, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like a religious movement, I guess, based after him.
What would the old AIs in our, like, the smarter child, remember smarter child on MSN Messenger?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can write.
We have a cult. We have a cult trying to just like find whoever's in Lemon Party the whole time.
Yeah.
It was the genie who can guess whatever you're thinking of. Character you're thinking of.
Oh man,
he's trapped behind the Black Wall.
he's awesome. Like, we don't show up on him yet, so we need people to like post more about us online.
So. 10 years after Johnny Silverhand's bomb destroys Arasaka Tower, the full-fledged reconstruction of Night City begins.
Okay.
There's actually a lot of activity in 2020 in the Cyberpunk world, Cyberpunk canon. Then there's this huge stretch of quiet right up to like 2060, essentially, where 2060 starts with like the real prelude to Cyberpunk 2077, but it like from 2025 to 2060, there's bullet points stuff that happens, but really not too much lore in there yet. So your idea about a prequel could still happen, Pete, set somewhere in that time.
My idea about a prequel, yeah. Let's send a pitch. Like, yeah. Instead of watching memes when we're done recording, let's fucking put that together.
Exactly. What do they do to like get rid of the radiation? I wonder. They just pour concrete over everything, or like,
yeah. I mean, radiation does dissipate. You can wait it out. It can take decades or centuries or millennia, depending.
Depends on the type of radiation. Some radiation doesn't take that long to dissipate, yeah. But some will take thousands of years. Some could take 10 years to dissipate.
Oh, okay.
That's what a half-life is. Like, dangerous radiation has a short half-life because it gets rid of all its energy very quickly, which is why it, like, boils you to death, basically. But something with a long half-life for, like, decades and decades or millennia doesn't hurt you.
That's not true.
But it doesn't send out as much radiation to, like, fuck up your DNA, right?
That's not necessarily true. I think that's like a general rule of thumb.
Yeah, I know the broad strokes of it, but I'll file away the half-life of radioactive elements with the Lagrange point is things I have read one Wikipedia article about.
Yeah, I looked at that picture of Lagrange point. I don't get it at all, but someone please explain it to me one day. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's the Cyberpunk fresher upper for Edgerunners and for 2077, if you're still interested. And the upcoming one, like Pete says, does seem to feature some politicking with the NUSA. So that's President Kress, former Militech CEO.
We assume.
We assume. It seems like, anyway, heavily hinted at. And like I say, I'd be surprised if they didn't go with it, just because they have the character and, like, fans of the lore, people who've listened to this now would be involved. So, like, why not make it that character and be like, oh, cool, maybe, that character, I know it there.
Yeah.
Maybe V gets to join, like, the NFBI or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thanks so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to get in touch with us, ask us for more Cyberpunk lore, because there is a lot more Cyberpunk lore. You can click the link to our Discord down below, where we have a lore request channel, and you can spam us in there for it. And maybe we'll get to it someday. James,
down to Atom Smasher right now.
Is there anything you wanted to talk about?
No, the Discord's great. That's where we do most of the chatting with folks, keeping up with folks. There's a lot of people playing like Risk of Rain right now, like Jester. A lot of cool discussion going on. So if you get into that Discord, our community's growing all the time. And there could be just a special place for you. And you might hear your name on the episode more often, like Commodore, since we've gotten to know them over time. So
exactly. And Peter, anything that you wanted to plug into the net here?
At Lore Wars Podcast on Instagram, if you want to see any of our artwork. And then also, I know we talk about them sporadically when big things happen, but I do have enough work done on my comic, which we've been talking about for years at this point. My publisher and I want to release something soon, whether it's like a black and white teaser or maybe like a teaser video. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We're in talks right now to release some... something that I've been working on for quite some time, just to get people a little bit hyped and like to finally, I suppose, like, because a lot of people ask me about it, I'm just like, yeah, well, here's what it is. Like, yeah. Like I'm looking very forward to that too. So
finally showing the world the pistol print.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just all dick butt. It's just 88 pages of dick butt.
That's this is the long con. You've been plugging every episode for 2 years just to release 88 pages of dick butt.
Nothing. Yeah.
The funniest.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys want to support the show, you can leave us a review, a good review, obviously, on your podcast app of choice, and tell your friends. Tell people who you think might enjoy the show that it exists, and maybe we'll gain some more listeners like that. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/thelorevoice, where you'll get your shout out either at the top or the end of the show if we don't remember to do it at the beginning of the show. We'll give you the loser titles. We'll give you guys the bonus audio that we talked about before. You guys can get access to scripts on there. That we write for these episodes. So that's patreon.com/theloreboys. There's a couple of tiers that you can access there. You'll get a shiny name color on Discord too, if you do decide to join the Discord as well.
It's red. Sorry, I don't want to bury the lead.
Yeah. The red names, and they get access to specific channels that get special attention from your lore boys too.
Exactly.
And I think Patreon, the schedule, we do episode Wednesdays, Thursdays bonus content, Friday scripts. You get 3 days of lore boy stuff to look forward to.
It's usually loser titles on Monday too.
Oh, today, 4 days.
This week it's going to be loser titles on Sunday because we're recording on a Sunday. Can you believe it? Check it out. patreon.com/loreboys if you're interested. If you don't trust Patreon, of course we do have Loreboys Prime. Always have, always will.
It's our corporation that we love more than anything.
Yeah, and we are, of course, incorporated. We've been incorporated for a long, long time now as a multi-billion-dollar podcasting platform. Of course, you know, we do have we need to protect ourselves from personal liability. And we are in need of some IT people. We've been getting a lot of cyber attacks recently. We are looking for what we're calling mall ninja submissions. So we want to see you guys with your katanas, with your fedoras, with the leather dusters, all that fully equipped. And we want to see what you can do to a computer, basically. We want to see if a computer was coming at us, trying to take out the lore boys.
Yeah.
What would you do about it, huh?
Yep. Show us your katanas. Send us your character sheets to show how powerful you've become in other real fake worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Unleash MMOs. The demon. Yeah. I want to see you stab a computer through the GPU, you know, the heart of the computer, of course.
the slow-mo edits in Windows Media Maker of the big slashes on the computer and everything. Yeah, yeah. I would love it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so send those over to loreboys@loreboys@loreboys, and we'll make sure to get them. And we'll contact you if you're hired for our IT services. And I think that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Out.
Than double the space I need for this bad boy. I'm gonna play with you guys. We'll be playing.
Damn, together. Son. Damn, go. Son.
All right, I'm starting the download. So,
if my audio gets steady, sorry, patrons.
Actually, that's a good point. I should probably pause it because you got tinny exactly when you said, "If my audio gets tinny."
Oh yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.